Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Rolling into hour number three, Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. 800-919-3776, the number. A little full buffet here in the final hour of the show today. We lead you into the K Show at 3 o'clock. All right, Bart. It's hour number three. It's Bart and Han. Let Tom know how you say it with your chest.
You see me, Tom, this is how you do it, right?
I almost feel like Tom should do it with you.
I want you to
get
take,
to your level.
You have to blow out, breathe in, let it out. It's the power hour, 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 hour.
Impressive.
See, I don't think you breathed in. You didn't use a diaphragm. You know what I'm saying?
See, when I did it the first time, I thought I breathed in and I let it all out.
Right.
And then it turned out that that wasn't the case.
You got a little squeaky.
Exactly. So I tried to scale it back, but from the beginning, it was a disaster.
You hated it and you just bailed out on it instead of just getting angry.
Oh, yeah. It was.
I almost feel like I need you angry when you do it, like mad.
And you, and when you say an hour, you can't hour too fast, right? Because you go, oh,
yeah, no, right. No, it's too much.
It's gotta be. It gotta be a habit. Hour.
It's an exact science, is what you're saying.
Yeah, then you're just done. Like here was the first attempt.
It's the power hour. Hour,
hour, hour. You know what I mean? Oh, see, just speak. Just speak right there.
But did you hear when he pressed out too much air?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, yeah.
And you was like soprano.
He really struggled, and then that last push, yeah. He squeaked.
I don't know your singing voice, but you look like an alto.
What do you sing, Tom,
like
when you sing?
Alto or a tenor to me.
Yeah, how do you, when you sing a song, who you singing?
You went full soprano. Can we see you, hear you sing old school, and we can gauge what you are? I close my come on, hey, you ready?
No, I'm good.
Only for a moment, and the moment's gone.
Come on, you could do it.
I don't even know the words to what you're singing right now.
Dreams,
well, he doesn't know the what's right. He's like 18.
For my eyes, my curiosity.
It's a beautiful song.
Dust in the wind. You've never seen old school.
All we are is dust in the wind.
You're my boy.
That was beautiful.
Here's Tom the second time when he completely bailed out.
It's the power hour.
I see there.
Oh, my
yeah.
God. Hour.
That,
hour.
Just, I hate
tell,
this.
Tell me you,
he goes, I hate this already.
Tell me you quit without telling me you quit. Like, come on, man.
No, well, he told you he quit. He said
I hate this already. But you see, here's where it went wrong. Is he now, where are you from originally, Tom?
What do you mean? Where am I from originally?
Yeah.
Like, where I grew up, New Jersey. Down by Asbury Park.
Asbury Park.
Where's Asbury Park?
See,
is that by like Red Bank or something like that?
Yeah, it's a little bit south of that.
Oh, the shore. See,
somehow, some way, Tom never really caught on to this the tri-state area ish accent, and he went like power hour, which.
Yeah, he went.
Can't do
see,
that.
See, you went power hour. You went. That's almost like
enunciated too much.
That's like Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? With the, what, you know what I'm saying? Like you dropped
a good neighbor.
Yeah, you dropped the U
neighbor.
And the R off.
That's
you
what know? I said.
It's
neighbor.
Hour, not hour. Yeah. Hour.
Now, can you
hour,
fake a New York hour. Accent? Give me like your fake New York accent.
What do you want me to say?
And then say like, you know, hey, it's the power hour.
It's the power hour. Mm. How about that?
Mm. You really struggle with it.
Mm.
Like, exactly. Did you not have anyone around you that talks more like that New York, New Jersey?
The entire side of my dad's family, because they grew up in Jersey City.
Oh,
so they have
God.
It. I don't.
So are they just disgusted? Like, when you talk, they all go, oh, this guy. Like, what, you too good for us? Man, you got to enunciate everything now. You went to your fancy college. Now you got to enunciate words around us. What, do you think you're better than me, Tom?
Nobody want to hear all the syllables.
They talk to your dad. Your kid thinks he's better than me, Bill. What's the problem? You can't talk like us. See, that's what you.
What's wrong with the way we talk?
Right. Right. Do you get that a lot? You think you're better than us?
I don't think so. Or at least nobody's expressed that outwardly toward me.
Let me tell you something. Not to your face.
No.
But behind, when you're not around, like, oh, Tom, oh, that's the guy that speaks proper. Right? And then, of course, somebody's mother, like an aunt or something, will say to one of her sons, why can't you talk more like Tom? He talks so elegant.
It's a lot of house.
I bet you get that. That's all Tom's got for us. He's already done. See how he checks out? Like, he doesn't like the attention on him. So he completely checks out. Yeah. Well, anyways, 800-919-3776. We got the Power Hour part out of the way. And something that else that we really haven't gotten into yet on the football side of things, Bart, before we get back into the Knicks, the NBA, and everything else, is earlier today some news that has a major impact on the wide receiver free agency portion.
Yeah.
And that is something, again, if you're the Giants and you're looking for wide receivers. So you mentioned the T. Higgins thing, that he's going to be franchise tagged, and that is not necessarily because they want to take him, they want to keep him. It's because they could use him.
They
want to
get
trade.
They want to get something for him.
They want to get some compensation.
Yeah, they want him to just walk and you get nothing for him.
So there's that. But Shefty reporting this morning that Mike Evans is also now off the table.
He got a nice deal too.
He and the Bucks agreed to a 2-year, $52 million contract. 35 of it is guaranteed. So he will now not be a free agent.
Yeah. Yep.
Buck for life is what he wants to be. And there you go. So, yeah,
but this one, he may be a buck for life too.
So he's off the table. What you have now are, you know, Michael Pittman, Calvin Ridley, Michael Thomas available?
Yeah, man, he ain't been. Come
but,
on, man.
But he hasn't been Michael Thomas in a couple of years now.
A couple.
He's just
for like
been
5 years. He's been Michael Stillings. He got paid $100 million.
It's once he got paid, right?
Yeah,
he was one of the best in the league.
Yeah, he's the best in the league. He had 147 receptions or something one year.
Right, and then there's Odell, who we just know again. He's talking about guys who just weren't. You know, if you're looking for a number one, there's not a lot of options out there right now. Calvin Ridley showed you last year he still has something left, and that he went through a lot of stuff.
He's young. He's about to be 30. He's 29 years old.
But we know he's had some issues, whether it's, you know, the gambling, whether it's the – what was the other thing with him?
It was the gambling.
There was something else he was dealing with too, wasn't he? I thought it was more than just that. Anyways, Pittman, though. Pittman at 1A? Right?
I'm more excited about Ridley than anybody. If not, then you're down to the Hollywood Browns of the world.
Yeah, there's him.
Odell, I don't really see it. Odell, like 35 catches last year, and he's going to say, well, it was the system I was in and what I was asked to do. But they tried a lot of times to get him the ball and get him active, and he never really got going when they did try and force the ball to him. So if you're the Jets, Calvin Ridley, and we know that was on LaSauce's, the general manager LaSauce, target for recruiting was Calvin Ridley. So let's see what Calvin Ridley, and you can't take off the table, you know, trying to make a trade for Davante Adams. And let's see what they do. Like, are the Raiders, I know, like, and everything's going to be set by what Kirk Cousins does. He sets the market. Now, Bart, how does Kirk Cousins set the market?
Please explain. Because what does a quarterback have to do with wide receivers?
Because if Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta, that means that Pittsburgh or potentially the Raiders might trade for Justin Fields.
Oh, I see.
If the Raiders trade for Justin Fields, that's probably enough to convince Davante Adams to stay put.
So it's
if it's Aiden O'Connell, and I can see maybe Devontae asking, like, hey, it's time for me to go. Like, I want to try a chance to win and play, and we're not there yet.
Now, last week, and we've talked about this already, but to remind everyone, the new GM of the Raiders is Tom Telesco, and he has said it several times, and he had to say it again at the Combine, that when asked about the availability of – when teams ask about the availability of Davante Adams, his response is, quote, he's a Raider. And that's it. And they also believe – there's people that also believe that with Davante Adams – he publicly wanted to see Antonio Pierce get that job. Remember, Antonio Pierce was the interim head coach.
But everybody wants that, right? By the cool coach or whatever, the former player.
Yeah, he wanted that. And he also said that he was it was exciting to work with Luke Getsy, who's their new offensive coordinator. And they were together with the Green Bay Packers when Devontae was in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers. So it seems like he might be a little more inclined to want to stay with the Raiders. And that, therefore, changes everything if the Jets are trying to target him.
I don't know about with Aiden O'Connell, what do you think he's going to do? 2 years? You got 2 years left on your deal. He's already, you know, 30. You talk about Mike Evans getting a two-year deal. But you got, like, 2 years left on your deal, and you're, like, 30, what, two?
Yeah, I think he's 31, 32, right?
Yeah, so we'll see what the power of Aaron Rodgers is. If not, we'll figure out. You know, as I'm looking at Ozzie Newsome next to Marvin Lewis, who they all came up together at the Combine, sitting next to each other. But Marvin Lewis is a Raider. Yeah, they brought Marvin Lewis is hired on the Raiders staff.
Okay.
You know, so we'll see how that works out, too, as far as, you know, trying to surround the coaching staff or the Raiders.
Things are going to get real next week.
Yeah.
Pretty clear.
Yeah, it's going to get real, real quick.
Yeah, going to get real next week. Meanwhile, for the Eagles, reality set in today, which is not a surprise whatsoever. Jason Kelce announcing that he is retiring after 13 seasons. And so they lose a huge piece of what they were.
The most important part of what they do.
And if you think about it for Kelce, like the tush push was as much about Kelce and his leverage and his ability to just
find the hole.
Right? And as much as Hurts and his power to push through, Kelce was all about what he was able to do there. And so a tearful goodbye for Jason Kelce in Philadelphia today, talking about how much he just loves football.
I am brought back to this day. I am brought back to this day. 12 years old, Roxborough Middle School, first day in pads. I've been asked many times, why did I choose football? What drew me to the game? And I never have an answer that gets it right. The best way I can explain it is what draws you to your favorite song, your favorite book. It's what it makes you feel. The seriousness of it, the intensity of it. Stepping on the field was the most alive and free I had ever felt. It was a visceral feeling with football unlike any other sport. The hairs on my arms would stand up. I could hit somebody, run around like a crazed lunatic, and then get told good job. I loved football, whether it was in my backyard with my brother, on the playground with my friends, or suiting up on Friday nights at Cleveland Heights High School. I loved everything about it. Although I hadn't met him yet, Jeff Stoutland often shares a quote his father would tell him. More often than not, the easy way is the wrong way. Football was hard.
I love what he said there, though, about his passion for the sport, right? Like, that says so much. The idea of, I got to do what I love to do. I don't know how many guys who play professional sports. We know all the stories. There are some who do it just for the money. They do it for the business. You don't see the same kind of joy and love for it.
Yeah.
But it's special to see the guys who you know just have the love and the joy for it.
And plus, the crazy thing is, no matter if you do it for the money or not, that wasn't what started you to do it, because ain't no money into it. Like, you start football in your – sometimes in your teenage years.
Remember,
you don't get paid for a long time.
But wasn't Kelce's story, Jason's story, was that he was a walk-on in Division I.
Yeah.
And he was like, sixth on the depth chart. Like, he had no shot, but worked his way up.
And the center is one of those positions where you can do that, because you don't have to be the biggest. You just have to be intelligent, tough,
smart.
Scrappy, smart, and dependable.
Yeah,
he's all those things.
Yeah, he's quite a story. But if you're the Eagles, that's another huge piece that you've got to figure out and how you can replace it. And so, NFC East, as you're looking at everybody, whether it's the Cowboys and all the question marks about what they can be and can they ever be it, and then the Eagles on, Did their window close?
Let's see what Brandon Graham got. Right? You're saying goodbye to some staples. Tyron Smith has been told that
Tyron Smith's going to be available.
He's 33 years old. He played every game this year. And
is he a bit of a risk, though?
Of course he is. But he's damn good. He will be the number one left tackle out there in free agency.
Do the Jets look at him as we have Aaron Rodgers? He's been hurt the last couple of years now.
But you have to.
You can't afford to bring a guy in who's going to be brittle at this point, right? Like, the one thing you got to avoid doing is the brand name.
Yeah.
Because it's okay, that's a brand name. I've heard of him. But wait, did you get, you're getting him too late?
But he's still so good when he plays. He's so good. Like, he's so damn good.
Then you need to protect yourself with a really good backup option just in case.
That's why you go get a guy like Talese Fuaga.
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 Yeah.
Close enough. Fuaga. Or you go get a Joe Alt.
Well, if you're moving up to get Joe Alt, he's your starting left tackle. You're not getting also Tyron Smith.
Well, you're not just getting Joe Alt and not going out and addressing somewhere else.
Yeah, but you don't need to do
remember,
that.
Because remember, Langton Tomlinson also not coming back.
Right.
So if you're doing
that. But that's guard, isn't it?
Huh?
Isn't he a guard?
Yeah. So your whole left side is gone.
Yes, I know.
You know what I'm saying? So you have to figure out, like, you gotta buy one, draft one. You got to buy two.
It's probably buy two, draft one.
Yes.
Right?
So depending on what you – see, this is the problem. You don't know what you're going to get in a free agency, right? So, like, if the draft was first, it'd be perfect. Because if you got Alt, then you're like, all right, I'll go buy two guards.
Mm-hmm.
But now you might have to go out and buy two, you know.
Yeah. So you might need to get a left tackle, a guard, and then still draft a left tackle.
You need a left tackle to play right tackle. See, the problem with the Jets messed up, they should never let Morgan Moses walk.
Yeah. It's amazing because he's played really well.
For the Ravens for the last 2 years, ever since he left. And, like, why
he's the guy they let go, which was a little bit of a
surprise.
He's
a right tackle. Like, why'd you let him go?
Yeah.
He never even make that much money for the Ravens.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you go Kevin Zeitler? If you go get the young guy, give me Kevin Zeitler.
Yeah, Zeitler's going to be available too.
Who's one of the best left pass protecting guards too.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you get him, then you draft Alt. Now you have a great pass guy who can pass the games and stuff that until he catches up on the game.
Yeah, God help you if you give Aaron Rodgers time. You know what he can do. Like, you already know, if you give him just some time, we know what he can do against defenses, right? That is what make this such a critical piece for the Jets this offseason.
Yeah, so depending on what you get at guard, if you get a young tackle, you go young guard. If you get a young, if you get a veteran tackle, then you can draft a right tackle and then get you you could go cheaper at guard.
Tyron Smith, is he looking for money or is he looking for a chance to win? If he's a free agent,
he was one of the first $100 million.
That's why I'm asking the question.
Tackles.
Only
he can answer that.
Well, what would you suggest then? Because again, the Jets, it might not be the money. They might not be able to give the money, but the opportunity. When you think about potential,
so if you don't want to spend money, if you don't want to waste money,
mm-hmm.
you draft the left tackle and you spend money on a guard because guards are cheaper than left tackles.
Well, that's of course, but I'm asking you about Tyron Smith because, like we said, like that's a name that you got to talk to. I would need to know, are you looking just for a payday or are you looking to go somewhere? Because I can, like, I know I probably only have like 2 years left.
I can see him going, if he's going to get somebody a discount, he'll go to Kansas City for a discount.
Hell yeah.
Because we know Smith's not coming back because he's trying to come here.
Right.
Damn.
Always getting the wrong guy. 800-919-3776. We'll continue with your calls and more, including something. Like we talked about earlier in the show, Jamal Crawford put out something. And one of the nicest people in the world put AAU on blast, but it's not who you think. And the people that need to hear this probably won't, but a lot of you who will hear it will always nod your heads going, yep, that's definitely the problem. We'll discuss that and more with you. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. Well, no Randall, no OG. Jalen Brunson goes down early on, but yet the Knicks find a way to pull off a win in Cleveland against the Cavaliers last night, 107-98. And Tom Thibodeau clearly proud of his team's effort.
For us, that's how we have to play. When you're shorthanded, your margin of error is really small. So you have to play with great intensity, great concentration on every play. That's the one thing I'm proud of. These guys have been, you know, we haven't had our starting front line for a long time. And so now you add in Jalen and then put the guys who were in there, got the job done.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
You my boy, Blue. See, but it's so much better when Will Ferrell sings it, though, because it has more soul. I want to say it has more soul
has
with
something.
Will Ferrell.
Has more something. Did you know, by the way, Tom does sing.
He does?
Listen.
There's an old man sitting next to me, making love to his tonic engine.
Tom refuses to commit.
So he's a tenor.
But he refuses to commit. You could see it.
Commitment.
He's like, I just don't want to try because I don't think it's going to sound good anyway.
When I wore a younger man's clothes.
Doesn't it seem like he's just not trying, right?
Yeah, it's like.
Like at home when nobody's listening, I bet you he actually belts it out.
Yeah, he got suds in his head.
Right.
He in the shower getting it in. The acoustics are right.
Mm-hmm.
Got his little Beats by Dre pill or something in there.
Something.
Letting it out.
See, what happens is if I get too excited, like, again, the power hour, the voice just cracks.
It just cracks.
So that's the problem.
So you want to stay in your pocket, right? You want to stay in the pocket. Like, who's a singer that always stays in the pocket, never goes, try and go too high, no soprano, they just stay right where they is. Two-step, right? You stay in the two-step.
Just monotone?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's no fun, though.
Yeah, you got
it. Come on, Tom, in the car.
No risky, no biscuit.
Windows up, music blasting. You're telling me that you're not trying to hit notes?
What's your go-to song?
Go-to song?
Well, he knew the words to Piano Man.
Making my way downtown.
All of Vanessa Carlton.
And I love it.
I like listening to Sublime. Like, that's a good one.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Didn't see that one coming. Give me a little Sublime.
No, I'm good.
I don't practice Santeria. Come on. Finish the lyric. I don't practice Santeria.
I ain't got no crystal ball.
There you go. If I had $1 million, well, I'd
spend it all
if I could find that Hannah and that Sancho that she's found.
See?
Well, I'd pop a cap in Sancho. Never mind.
Yeah, we're going to cut
Never
it off
mind.
There.
See, he just needs to be in a group. He is power in numbers for him.
Yes, strength in numbers. He needs
that. He can be in the school choir.
Yeah.
You're gonna get the volume.
We need like
and Etta King Bokey.
The Gout needs like a group. We need like an R&B group.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the Gout's gonna have a lot of hip hop, but I think we need one R&B group that we'll put on the label.
Yeah.
Can we put Tom in the group?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Because he does have that unique look, right?
Well, Tom would get us extra funding.
You think so?
Yeah.
He can help us get funding.
Yeah.
How do you think that?
Like
part?
Tom, like Ray, doesn't Tom look like if we did like a Weezer cover band? The minute we step on the stage, everybody's like, "Oh my god!" Right?
Oh, because yeah. he's in the Buddy Holly video.
Oh my god! Absolutely,
another good song.
We can be the,
right.
We can call ourselves the Blue Bloods.
Maybe.
Yeah, Blue Bloods.
Come in with like a crinkled Duke zip up.
Yeah,
from the 90s.
Got to go with the flannel and some rustlers.
Straight
moose snuck on some cowboy. some cowboy boots.
Oh my god. So Jamal Crawford posted this very randomly over the weekend. And Bart, I want you to listen to it and you're gonna nod your head this whole way. And there's a lot, everybody listening, I want you to just pay close attention and be honest with yourself. Some self-accountability here. Is he talking about you? So here's Jamal Crawford, a great NBA player. He's become a terrific broadcaster as well. Good friend. We've had him on. And he said this, being in the gym over these last few months in national games, watching, listening, talking to, hearing, there's a lot wrong with AAU. But the parents are near the top of the list. He said, it's sickening. The delusion that exists is crazy. If we're always making excuses for our children's behavior, where it has to be someone else's fault, and we're not teaching them accountability, we're setting them up to fail. If we're always criticizing a coach or program who is giving their own time to benefit your child's development and well-being, and that's not enough, you should coach them to give them all you want them to have. As parents, we have to be better. Jamal Crawford continues saying, looking back when I played AAU, the thing I take the most pride in is my mom or dad never complained to one coach I ever played for from 8 years old on. They said, you want all the things you say you want? Figure it out and go get better. Looking back, I wear that with pride.
Yeah, we too often our parents are trying to fight the battles. And, you know, myself, as a little league coach for my sons playing football, you know, I coached his team for like 4 years. And listen, when they won't let Jimmy go out there and they complaining, and I'm saying, listen, if we give Jimmy playing time that he didn't earn, what lessons are we teaching him? And I say, you know, I'm not putting him out there because he's not ready. Like, all I can do with him is go out there and blitz him. Because if I let him stay there, some kid that's about that life is going to line little Jimmy ass up. And too often, I'd be out there, you want him in, he go out there, you hear the parents cheering.
Mm-hmm.
Boom! Go get my baby. Like, yeah, so like.
But how about this, Bart?
Start putting the kids out there, let their ass get knocked out.
Isn't it up to you to coach him up? Maybe you're not teaching him right. Listen to this. I've heard, and on the hockey side, it's just as bad. But I couldn't believe, 8 years old, I can't believe sometimes the things I hear from parents who never played the sport,
yeah,
complaining about a practice, but whatever is going on in the practice that they feel like you need to do more of this and that. Or how about this, which is another AAU problem. We don't play enough games. They're 8 years old. You don't need to play 60 games.
You need to practice.
Practice.
Fundamentals.
What are we learning from so many, NBA especially? These guys all talk about, coaches that talk about it. Why do the international guys come to the NBA and do so well? Because all they do, they play three games a week. They practice the rest of the week. That's it. You play Thursday, you might play Friday or Saturday, and you might play Sunday. But other than that, the rest of the week, practice, fundamentals, drills, all the stuff that Johnny doesn't want to do as a little kid because he's a kid and he just wants to play. And you as a parent, you don't want to sit at practice because practice is boring.
10,000 reps.
Yes.
They're on their phone.
It's drills. So you sit there going, I want to watch games. I want to see him play. I want to see him play. And you get so caught up in winning as a parent instead of worrying about what? how much better he's gotten, how much better she's gotten. Wow, look at the improvement that she has shown over time, and then you get to show it in a game. But this whole notion that it's all about play games, win this, win that, national tournament. Are you crazy?
It's a marathon, man.
Yes.
It's a marathon. When you talk about the overall development of your child, right? If your child ends up being a high school star or get to go to college, do you care that he didn't play much his first 2 years when he was 8, 9 years old, 10 years old? Like, some kids are developmentally, physically, and emotionally develop early.
Yeah, and then it catches up.
Right.
And, you know how many kids I've seen who dominated when they were 10, 11, 12,
never heard from them anymore? Yeah, never heard of them. Like, they get to that level.
It just gets hard, and they don't want to deal with it. It's not as fun anymore because it's a lot harder now because everybody's caught up to me, and it's not fun anymore.
Yeah.
And it happens, and that's okay. That's all right. It's just, you can't look at 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 and think this is how it's always going to be. The special ones were great at the beginning. They'll always be great. That's the special ones.
But
everybody else, you could take somebody who barely plays as an 8-year-old, and by the time they're 18, get farther than you ever thought they could.
But the ones that are great when they're young and bigger than everybody and everybody else catch up, sometimes they lack the fundamentals because they didn't have to work
Never had to.
And then when you get to people that's your size, your speed, the fundamentals and the discipline and the knowledge and the acumen is what separates the both. And that's development, right? Too often, like I say all the time, we give these kids participation trophies. Everybody get the same trophy. You don't want to separate anybody.
Everybody has to play the same amount. Right. It's only fair.
How do I develop hunger in a kid if everything that he wants he gets? Like,
great point.
You want to be the MVP on this team. You want to be the most improved. You got to go get it, and it starts with chasing that guy right there. And if you don't, we're not going to give you one just so you can feel good about yourself. Because life ain't going to do that for you.
And by the way, where does this happen? Practice.
Exactly.
That's where it happens.
Exactly.
It happens because you teach your child that if you take everything serious, which includes practice, you show up every practice, you will jump off the page. It's hard not to if you are bringing it every time you go to practice. Now, not every kid is built this way. Some kids just want to play for fun.
Yeah.
And that's okay, too. But then if you as a parent see that you have a child that just wants to play for fun, you cannot be the lunatic parent that screams and yells. You can't do it. It has to match whatever. If your kid's intense and is really into it, then you support that kid. But I can't stand the parents, and this is what Jamal's saying. The parents that make it more about them and less about the kid, and then you want to protect your kid by not giving them accountability. You know what's funny is that we're a generation that grew up with, when you got in the car, like, the ride home for me with my dad
horrible.
Was the hardest. It was, you knew the bad games. Man, that's the longest 25 minutes. That's a 25-minute ride home. It was the longest 25 minutes. I would sometimes ask my mom, like, can I just go home with you? Like, because you knew it was coming. But so how do we go from that to now we, with our kids, we blame everyone but them? How did we become that? You were brought up this way. And you're going to now not do that? So what made you have success, become an adult and all that stuff, you think, well, I don't want to do it that way. I'm going to make an excuse. I'm going to be this hovering parent that protects the child from any type of accountability. What do you always say about teams? You have to go through pain to understand how to win, understand how to appreciate winning, what it takes, the work, so that when you do get there, You like, it means more.
Every story.
They have to go through pain. They've got to go through, you know what, you got cut. Sorry, you got cut. You weren't good enough.
And that's our problem. As our parents, like, when our kids show that their pain and their feelings are hurt, we try and fix it for them. Instead of saying, hey, man, you got to take accountability. Teach the kids how to take accountability early.
Be better.
What are you going to do about it? Like, listen, because if you're going to practice and these kids are already better than you, you're only going to be able to catch up with them shortly. What you have to do is be able to work when they're sleeping.
Yeah.
So how do you that's do? Right. Like, are you going to go out and do extra on your own? Are you going to go out and run on your own? Are you going to go out and lift on your own?
Yeah.
Because if you're doing everything that they're doing, it's not going to be any separation.
Mm-hmm.
And if they already have separation for you, you'll never be able to catch up with them because you're doing exactly what they're doing.
That's a great point.
So if you
and if they
better,
don't want to put the work in, then
yeah.
okay, then
they
you just back
they,
play for
don't
fun.
Don't complain with me. Yeah, yeah. They, play for fun. Okay. But when you don't play and you're on the bench,
don't complain.
Don't complain. I don't want to hear it because you didn't put in the work to play.
Yeah, and that's all right. Again, nobody's saying that the kid has to be a maniacal worker who's obsessed with the sport. You don't the Kobe stuff is nice. Those are great messages of you know all kinds of you know positive affirmations and focus. Those are all great things. But not everybody's built like this. Some people just want to play for fun. That's fine. But then you shouldn't put yourself in a highly competitive environment or put your child in that.
You're going to get your ass hurt.
If your child is not really all about it.
Yeah.
You have to just accept it. It's okay. But if you start turning it into it's all about you, and you start screaming and yelling, and you start complaining, like I cannot, like the conversations that you overhear when you sit at these practices, mm-hmm. it blows my mind. Because you just ask yourself, did you ever play a sport in your life? Because if you did, you would never say the things you're saying out loud.
The emails that the parents send to the coach. Like the coach like, yo, I got a full-time job. I come here after work
mm-hmm.
to make sure I can coach your kid. And you saying what?
Oh, but you don't like my kid. That's why you don't play him. You think I want to lose? I'd love to win, but I don't like your kid, so I ain't playing him.
Don't let their kid play on the team. Or don't let their coach, their team.
That's tough.
Your kid be the quarterback. Oh,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. They made this kid the quarterback. Mm.
Yeah. So it was just like I said, Jamal. This thing, by the way,
it's been going.
It has over 6,000 likes, over 280 bookmarks. It's been viewed over 800,000 times. Like this is almost 900,000 views so far. This is something that has resonated with a lot of people. And the only thing I wonder is. Those of us that are reacting to it, we're the ones that understand it. I wonder if those that this is written for even know it's about them. And that's a sad thing. So I thought to bring it up because, like I said, so many of us parents in the car right now because, you know, picking up kids from school or running them now to different sports and whatnot. Just ask yourself, is that me? You know, you challenge your kid, but you do it behind closed doors. You get the best of them and let them get the best of themselves. But if you start making excuses that, no, it's not your fault, it's the coach, it's this, it's that, it's unfair. Like, you start doing that us versus them, they'll be like that their entire lives. They'll never believe that they just have to work harder. They'll just think it's just the system is against me and it's unfair. Yeah. Do you really want, even if you grew up that way, do you want your child to grow up that way?
Yeah.
Is that really? And Jamal Crawford, one of the nicest human beings you'll ever meet, guy had great success, of course, as a basketball player, but not a guy that generally comes out and just starts ripping on people. For him to say this, that's a level of disgust that I didn't even know he had in him. 800-919-3776. K-Show coming up top of the hour. We'll finish up with some calls.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. K-Show top of the hour. The injury report, the official NBA injury report. Now, the Knicks don't play till tomorrow, so they don't have to submit anything right now. And, of course, nothing submitted yet when it comes to injuries. But, again, the latest that we heard from Tom Thibodeau last night made it seem like, you know, again, his response when asked could he play Tuesday was, I guess, and they just wanted to see how things go today. But, you know, what looked like it could have been a devastating injury, especially when you consider non-contact and he grabs his knee, you think the worst. And then afterwards, he called it a knee contusion.
Yeah, he just put some dirt on it.
And just felt like it was something that he felt better. X-rays were negative. The tests were negative. Doctors did check him out in Cleveland. And even Josh Hart and Dante DiVincenzo both walked away feeling like they talked to their boy. And he just said, you know, that I'll be fine. They trust him. So can you imagine if they dodged that? What felt like in the beginning of that game, a gut punch to the season, ended up, you know, at the end of the night being a inspiring win. And then perhaps even better, avoiding what could have been a tough injury. And now, of course, you're waiting to get back other players. Julius Randle, OG Anunoby, both of them on the court. Both of them on the trip. Randle working out. Both of them cleared for light contact and now progressing their way towards a return that we could see within a week or two. And so imagine if middle of March we do get to see the Knicks whole and what they can be.
You think that's enough time? How many games do you think they need together to kind of mesh?
Well, there's 21 left now, right?
They need about 10.
I would, yeah, remember.
They're probably going to get 5.
What's important is they already had a month together.
Yeah.
See, if they didn't have January together, you could say, oh, you know, it's going to take a while. This isn't like a late season trade and now you've got, you know, a quick downhill and got to figure it all out while trying to make the playoffs. They've already put a month together, so there should be some muscle memory already there. Knowing what you like everybody understands their roles, nothing new needs to be figured out. The only new one, really, if you think about it, is Mitchell Robinson. Because he's the one that hasn't really played with that five. Isaiah Hartenstein has played with them. He was the center.
Yeah.
So he's the one that might have need time, but I don't know if we're going to see him before the end of the season. If we do, it might not be till the very, you know, like the last couple of weeks.
And I don't know how much Poppy will have because
If he can give you 10 minutes, 12 minutes, 15.
Is Joel coming back?
Yeah, Embiid said he's coming back. But, you know, again, they're not going to rush him at all.
Right.
So I don't, you know, but he did talk over the weekend. He did say his intention is to come back. It's the matter, of course, of how much stronger. He is already starting to do some light lifting and, you know, getting his strength back where he can put all his weight on the knee again. And, you know, I mean, the Sixers are hanging in there without him. But, you know, again, from the Knicks perspective, last night started out feeling like, oh, no, the season might be over, to a huge win. Yeah. And then some better news about, you know, Brunson's situation. Wait to get something official, of course.
Like all the guys on the bench, like, no, take me, Lord.
Right?
Like, no.
How many Knicks fans was thinking that right now?
Take my meniscus.
But again, you just had seen Randall working out on the court. And that's the best part, with seeing him rising up, shooting, you know, the basketball arm, you know, the bad shoulder over his head, all the things, moving around, showing no ill effects whatsoever. And just knowing that, okay, like, and they don't really have a lot of games. Think about this, too. The schedule gives them a little break right now. They played Thursday, Sunday, and two. So they played two games in a span of 7 days. Light. Just open it up. Friday's game against Orlando. Then they do the two games against Philly, which are going to be huge games.
If Brunson's hurt, you think they can beat Orlando? They can't beat Orlando.
They struggle against Orlando.
With all that size and length.
Yeah, they've had a hard time beating that team.
And they run.
And well, they're tough. They're physical. Yeah. They get after it, too. So I think it's,
anytime
to
you
me,
got a
it's...
a player like named Wagner.
Wagner, I will break you. My brother will break you, too.
You girly mom.
Tuesday is Atlanta, and there's no Trae Young for Atlanta. So keep that in mind. Do you, you know, depending on the Brunson situation, we'll keep an eye on that, but... You know, like if he's just like in a day to day.
Orlando's the team that you got to get, man.
Well, you've already 0-3 against them.
Yes.
You know, like
you get swept by Orlando.
That doesn't matter in the regular season.
I'm just saying. Like you don't want a
you
young
haven't
team
played
like that.
Them when you had OG and like you
don't
there was
want
always something
team.
Going on in those games before you played.
But
them,
you don't want a young team like that to ever have that confidence that they swept you.
Yeah. But you know how it is with a young team in the playoffs. Like, you know, like it's different. It's a different animal for them. But like I said, last night, the gamut of emotions from start game to the end of the game to the post game, what was being said, it was just like you just had to take a breath and think, okay, season, not over. Mm-hmm. The show is, but we'll be back tomorrow. Enjoy the K Show. Bart, see you tomorrow.
Holla.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.